Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go
aboard. Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour launch pad limbo. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Wichita to Washington, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
Hey, listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
And as always, we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. So get yours with a Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Big show coming up for you today. We are absolutely stacked, and I'm excited for today's show. We've got Super Dave fresh off of his play-by-play call, his final call, as the Winthrop Eagles shock the St. Mary's Gales earlier this week. We'll have Super Dave come in to do his college football picks. He stands two wins behind Mraz right now. Mraz has 17, Super Dave has 15. But for Super Dave, it's getting late early out there. Only a few more college football weeks to go to make the move. And so we'll get Super Dave's picks coming up here and ask him about authoring a great final call. We just heard the VCU final call. That's a great final call. And then you had Evansville the other day. As the great Pete the Body Bellotti might say, I need some juice. Give me some juice. Also coming up this morning on the show, Amy Trask will join us. We always love when Amy drops on by from Tops, that other pregame show on CBS Sports Network, former Raiders executive. Amy, one of the most pleasant people in sports media. Amy has this thing on Twitter where if you at mention her and have like a take or a follow-up or a comment, before she responds, she says, well, first, hi. She says hi to everybody on Twitter. She's the only person ever to say hi, have some type of greeting on Twitter. The only person ever.
I'm on Twitter or Facebook right now.
She's so pleasant. She even wants to say hi to haters and trolls. Me? No way. No salutation. No greeting. We're enemies. Amy's going to join us 1 hour from now. Also, 2 hours from now, we always love when Susanna Collins comes by. She's so fun. She's so funny. She's such a great reporter. She works for MLS. She's done some great work after the historic MLS Cup in Seattle on Sunday. 70,000 people showed up. She's spoken to Zlatan. He says he's going to head off into the sunset after his brief MLS career. So we'll talk to Susanna about it, all of that. We'll play a little 10 questions with her as well coming up here on the show in hour number three. We've got the cap workout. Is it a PR stunt? We've got Scott Boras calling out competitive balance and attendance woes in Major League Baseball. And we've got one draft analyst saying Tua is the best quarterback prospect in decades. All of that coming up this morning on the show. Any of those topics you want to jump in on, here's your phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. Let's start with tonight's Thursday night game in Cleveland. AFC North matchup. Steelers and Browns. Now the Steelers, have pushed their heads above 500, 5-4 after a 1-4 start, basically on the backs of its defense, considering they lost Ben Roethlisberger in week number one, and still figuring out how to get offense out of an attack that has no Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell anymore. The Browns finally go back to feeling good after a 3-point win over the Buffalo Bills last week on Sunday. But the Browns still sit at 3-6. And 3-6 ain't getting you very far in the NFL standings. 3-6 ain't getting you very far in the playoff picture. The Steelers have thrust themselves into the playoff picture, into a wild card role, into a potential thermal detonator coming up in the NFL playoffs if they get there. Defense travels, as we know. The Browns, however, desperately need this to keep their slim hopes alive at least relevant football in December. Will the Steelers, though, with that defense, end the Browns' season tonight? It is where we begin your cold open.
We're excited about AFC North divisional play. We're excited about being a part of this rivalry. We understand the environment that we're going into. We understand how important this game is to them and us. It's just AFC North football. And got a lot of respect for those guys. They got talent in all areas.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
I kind of love Mike Tomlin talking about AFC North football. What did the Browns play when they were 0-16 and 1-15? What are the Bengals playing now? Is that AFC North football? We could have another 0-16 this year in that division. AFC North football, baby. Got to watch out for it. I think the Brown season ends tonight. I'm buying on the Steelers. I'm buying on the Steelers defense. I know it hasn't been pretty. I know they're not blowing anybody out. But here's why I'm buying on the Steelers tonight. Freddie Kitchens, Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, and a host of others on that Browns offense still haven't figured it out. On Sunday, the crux of that win was because the Bills couldn't score. The Bills couldn't figure out their own offensive woes. The Bills had the missed field goal at the end of the game. The Bills' problems offensively assisted the Browns in getting that win. That was not a great offensive performance where you say, oh, Cleveland figured it out. And knowing the flaws in Freddie Kitchens, knowing the flaws in Baker Mayfield, knowing the flaws of that offensive line, I will take a power team in the defense of the Steelers over the Browns' offense tonight that has been weakened, that's been lethargic, it's been ineffective and mistake-prone. Figure out a way to block T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree. Figure out a way to keep the ball away from Minka Fitzpatrick. Find a way to run away from Cam Hayward. You figure that out, Cleveland, because I don't think you will. I don't think the Browns will be a turnover-prone team. I don't think they will be able to hold on to the football against the Steelers tonight. Pittsburgh has created three or more turnovers for weeks now in each and every game. I think tonight the Steelers' defense is the strength. The Steelers' defense makes the Browns look silly. I think they'll force them into more turnovers and mistakes, and you will see not a pretty game from the Steelers. And I know on the road in the division, everything's a toss-up. And look, Vegas is once again on the Browns, as they were last week, a good Bills team coming into Cleveland. They had been undefeated on the road, and Vegas said, nope, Browns are the favorite. Browns are the favorite again tonight. Same line by three at home. I just don't believe that the Browns offense will be able to solve the riddle of the Steelers defense.
I don't trust him at all in this matchup. And I'll tell you this, with a loss tonight, game, set, match, that's it for the 2019 Cleveland Browns. We know the season will be over with seven losses, and that should be the end of any flickering hope that Freddie Kitchens would be coming back for 2020, because he can't be coming back. The guy's got to get the zig the first day of the season, the first day of the offseason. Black Friday or Black Monday, get him out. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. We're going to play all of these upset calls coming up here this hour that happened in college basketball this week. We had Winthrop upset St. Mary's. We just had VCU last night get the upset win. We had Evansville get the upset victory at number one Kentucky. And that's a lot early in the season. That's a lot of big-time upsets. And I'll tell you what it tells me. It tells me that college basketball is quirkier and impossible to decipher than ever before, because the power teams aren't really true power teams. That's what it tells me. A lot of these power teams, or supposed power teams, get their reputations based solely on the name of the jersey. Solely on whatever the name of the jersey is on the front or the coach on the sideline. But college basketball rosters turn over so quickly, so dramatically. And throwing a bunch of kids together early in the season, you never know what you're going to get. That calling Kentucky the number one team of the country is kind of like just saying, well, we think Kentucky's kind of good. I mean, I know they had that win over Michigan State, but ultimately, how good is Michigan State right now? How good is Duke right now? How good is any of these power teams right now? I think that because so many guys leave immediately for the NBA, it'll be even crazier when the kids leave or don't even go to college and go directly to the NBA. Defining good teams, especially early, is virtually impossible. Whereas we were talking about this the other night, watching Duke right now or watching Kentucky right now or Michigan State right now is kind of silly because you don't actually know who's good on the roster. Nobody knows anything about these kids.
No. When I watched Duke and Kansas play, I was into the game because I saw the coaches and I saw the uniforms, and then it dawned on me as the game was tight. Wait, who's that? Who's that? Who do I even know is the best player? I had no idea watching Duke who the best player was, who I was supposed to be watching up. No idea.
If you canvassed the average sports fan right now, who's the best college basketball player in the country? Could somebody even name who it might be?
No, I believe whoever was supposed to be is hurt, I think.
I mean, if you asked, okay, if you canvassed the general sports fan and said, who's the best player on Duke? No idea. Who's the best player on UNC? No idea. Best player on Michigan State? Best player in Kentucky? Nobody would know anything.
No. And by the way, I watched basically the whole second half of Duke, Kansas. I probably still can't name one player on either team right now.
So what does that say? Because week one of the college football season? Oh, everybody coming into this year would be able to name Trevor Lawrence, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert. People might not know Chase Young yet. People might not know Joe Burrow yet. People would know Justin Fields probably. People would know Jalen Hurts. I mean, you would have a bucket of names that you could pick from and say, okay, well, these guys are probably supposed to be good. In college basketball, nobody knows any players. So what my point is it seems like there's a lot of upsets, but these might not be crazy upsets because the teams that have the numbers next to them are basically they got the numbers next to them simply because they have the program recognition or the coach on the sideline.
By the way, Cassius Stanley, the leading scorer for Duke so far. Who?
When we come back here on the show, Colin Kaepernick's going to get a workout and a couple of NFL teams are going to show up on Saturday. But does this reek of an NFL PR stunt? It's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
22 minutes past the hour. Happy Thursday to you, everybody. Brand new episode of the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, is out. We dissect potential saboteurs of the DA Show. Not only is the pork store under siege, but now the mothership is as well. Plus, Side B dissects Shep and his never-ending ridiculousness that led to a bizarre Monday show. It's all right now available. All places podcasts are downloaded. Just find the Permission Granted Podcast or the PGP on the normal DA Show iTunes feed.
I feel so bad.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. I'll circle back to Mr. David Shepard coming up here in a few moments, but first, the Kaepernick news. So the NFL unveils plans yesterday for a Kaepernick workout on Saturday. And on the surface, it seemed like, okay, this is a good gesture. Two sides perhaps finding some common ground. A man that divided the country, or a cause or an act throughout the NFL that divided the country, inflamed tensions, inflamed our entire political system. Now maybe there's some common ground. 3 years after, tempers have settled, emotions have settled. And now we can go back to the football part of this. Cap says he's not going to kneel. It's not really a thing anymore. Cap still wants to play. And so the NFL is going to afford him a workout at an NFL facility that all 32 teams can be invited to. Okay? This felt like a step in the right direction. And then it started getting parsed. And people started asking questions. And of course, it now feels a lot less organic or authentic or in the right spirit. Because the first part was, why now? Right? It's almost Thanksgiving. A workout for Colin Kaepernick is not going to lead to a starting quarterback job this year. I mean, nobody works out a guy in mid-November who hasn't played in 3 years with the idea, you know, maybe he could start for us next Sunday. So why now? Why wasn't this earlier in the season? Why wasn't this in the off-season? Why wasn't this in training camp? You know, at a time where depth charts are still being set. Number two, the timing in terms of the heads up, the NFL said on a Wednesday, we're going to have a workout for Kaepernick. Everyone's invited. Okay, great. When is it? It's in like 4 days. What? Yep, Saturday coming up. Okay, so that wasn't a lot of heads up for NFL teams to get things in motion. It also wasn't an incredible heads up for Kaepernick himself, because Cap was like, I had no idea this was coming. So they just kind of dropped this in the middle of the season. Oh, yep, workout's coming. Cap wants a workout. Everyone's invited. It's going to happen in about 4 days. So everyone get ready. The other part was this happened on a Saturday, where, not sure if you're aware, but college football usually plays on that day. And, you know, NFL teams tend to draft those players. And so a lot of NFL teams, actually all of the NFL teams, had planned this Saturday to be at, you know, college games. So all of that feels really either haphazard, ill-conceived, or PR stunty, where the NFL is kind of making it seem like they're doing the right thing, but in reality, there's a lot better ways to have executed this plan. So NFL teams are saying, well, can you give us more heads up? And can you not do this on a Saturday? And Cap's team is like, okay, we would have liked a better heads up, and can you not do this on a Saturday? And also, can we get a list of the teams that have inquired about me? And they're like, no. And so this whole thing doesn't quite feel anymore like a honest to goodness, hey, we're going to try to help all parties here. And here's the deal. This is why it happened. Multiple teams have reached out to the NFL to ask about Cap's availability. Note also that this is an NFL-sanctioned workout, NFL-organized workout. I mean, all of these teams could fly in Colin Kaepernick and just have him at the facility, but there's a real delicate nature and sensitivity within the league because of the settlement that happened back in January between the league and Kaepernick. And I think also not wanting to go against what the league might want you to do. That the league has to be uniformed in this. And this is one thing that they learned 3 years ago. You can't have some owner saying you can kneel, some owner saying you can't kneel, some owner saying you're going to be punished, some owner saying it's fine. You got to be in a unified front. So there's been interest in Kaepernick, perhaps because of the success of Lamar Jackson, perhaps because there's so much bad quarterback, perhaps because there's so many injuries to quarterbacks, but there has been interest. There's been multiple teams reaching out to the NFL saying, hey, is Kaepernick open season? Can we reach out to him? So the NFL office said, all right, I'm getting sick of this. I'm getting sick of all these teams reaching out to me about Cap. We got to do something. And Kaepernick's team earlier this month, you might remember, put out a lengthy statement about how they're still not getting anywhere with teams that are interested. They were aware teams were interested. The NFL was basically shutting it down. And Cap's team said, this is what's happening. So the NFL basically, to acquiesce, said, okay, fine. You guys are interested in Cap? Cap thinks he's not getting a fair shot still? Fine. Fine, we'll do a workout. We'll do it live. It's going to be in 4 days. It's going to be on a Saturday. And figure it out. Now, this is amazing. It's amazing because only the NFL could create a problem out of this. Only the NFL. Number one, if they just didn't do anything and said, you know what, we'll set something up in the offseason. Number one, you could just not do anything. You could actually literally just be like, yeah, teams are interested, but he's not invited to the league. We don't want him in the league. We settled with him. You know what? We don't want to deal with this. We're not opening up this can of worms again. Could do that. You could say, fine, you guys are interested. People are interested. Cap wants a workout. Let's do this in the offseason. All right, let's do this. Let's do this right. Let's do it in the offseason. You could work together with Cap and say, what works for you? You want it on a Tuesday? We'll try to do it on a Tuesday. You want it on normal days off for team executives? We can do that. We don't have to have this at an NFL facility. We can do this at the facility of your choice. We can invite. We can give you the list of names. We can do this the right way. But they decided not to. So it's like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Granted, I think this is at least, no matter what you think about the political connotations of kneeling during the national anthem and the sign of respect or what America is supposed to be about and freedom of speech and all of the things that got baked into that. If football teams are interested in signing Colin Kaepernick and Colin Kaepernick is interested in working out for teams, there should be a way to do this. But only the NFL could have screwed it up. Only the NFL could make a problem when there wasn't a problem. I think here's the reality, and here's where it distills for me. Why is it happening? I think a couple of reasons. Number one, the NFL is covering its own you-know-what legally, because I think Cap's team got wind that teams were interested, and the NFL doesn't want evidence of blackballing him again or on the record. There are teams interested. Look, there's already like 10 teams that have said we're going to be at the workout. So clearly people are interested. They wanted to cover their butts legally. Number two, there's a CBA coming up in 2020. At the end of next season, the current collective bargaining agreement is up. They're going to be in negotiations early this 2020. And some are saying they could even get it done in early 2020. One of the sticking points for the NFLPA is going to be Colin Kaepernick. And why'd you screw him? And why'd you blackball him? And we know there's teams that are interested, and you never gave him a fair shake. And teams have said they've reached out to him. They want to work him out. And this is a way to have appease the NFLPA. See? We gave him a workout. So, is this out of the goodness of the NFL's hearts? Of course not. Is this business? Of course it is. Is it legal? Is it to cover your butt legally? Yes, absolutely. It's just problematic that, you know what? There was a solution for both sides, and you screwed that up. Do I think Kaepernick's going to have this workout on Saturday? I do. Do I think there's going to be teams there? I do. Do I think he's going to get signed? I don't. I don't think he's going to get signed. I think that this is the first look at him going into the offseason, and maybe there's some interest in kicking the tires on him in the offseason. If he looks good in this, he might not. He might look terrible. That might be the road, but I don't think on Monday you're going to see a team sign Kaepernick to be playing quarterback for them or be on their roster at any point for this season. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. And what do I always say? You just can't trust these 32 owners and commissioner. You just can't. The sport is wonderful. The games are fun and exciting. But the leadership within the league, man, couldn't do worse. When we come back, Super Dave with his college football picks, but also on how to author a great final call, because Super Dave had one this week, and there was another college football upset, or college basketball upset, rather, that fell so short. We'll talk about what it takes to be a great final call in an upset coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
A no sweatpants at work zone.
Do you hate me?
No.
It's almost like I can't help myself but purposely tick people off. I'm a sick person. There's a lot of people who hate me. Look, Minnesota, beautiful town, great bars, great breweries, sticky people.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
41 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us here on a wonderful Thursday morning. Coming up next hour on the show, our friend Amy Trask is going to join us from CBS Sports Network. We'll talk NFL with her and the return of the silver and black. Remember, brand new episode of Nomad is out, my travel series. Mraz and I take behind-the-scenes tour of Target Field, beautiful Target Field, home of the Twins. And also, we take in a Minnesota Wild game and see the state of hockey in its natural habitat and eat Canadian poutine and something called a puck dog. All of that on this episode of Nomad, available on YouTube. Simply go to YouTube and find my channel by searching Damon and Nomad, and or DA and Nomad. You'll see it there. Subscribe for free. You'll get notifications of brand new episodes. And we also address a great quote from this Nomad in this week's PGP from Mraz, where he is smitten by female Minnesota Wild fans in Wild jerseys. He probably had one too many IPAs, but he says it's kind of like the bikini top of Minnesota.
She's a bad girl, David.
That is in this week's most recent episode of Nomad. So some big-time college basketball upsets this week. We've had a number of ranked teams go down to unranked foes. You know, just last night, VCU takes out number 23 LSU. Here's how it sounded on the VCU radio network.
All you've got to do is just get it in. Just give it to somebody. They do. And it's over. And the Rams win it. 84-82. LSU heads back to Baton Rouge.
gutsy, gritty victories.
Woo!
Are you kidding me? No.
Listen to this crowd.
Now that's good action. Good job by the VCU radio network. That's good. VCU actually had a 12-point lead at the half, held on to win by 2 points, 84-81. So exciting game, big upset. VCU takes out a ranked Power 5 team, Power Conference team, in LSU. The night before, it was an even bigger upset. You had Evansville out of the Missouri Valley Conference. I mean, VCU's gone to a Final Four. Evansville goes to number one ranked Kentucky at Rupp Arena and pulls off the shocker, and the final call left us all wanting more.
Cestina looks for inbounds. He throws it into Maxey with 5 seconds. Maxey with 4, 3 seconds. Elevates on a 3. It's an air ball.
Wow.
And the Aces have gone the road to Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky, and stunned the number one Wildcats 67-64. They shock college basketball on this Tuesday night. What a win for Coach McCartney and his return to Kentucky.
It's one of the biggest upsets in years. Kentucky was a 25-point favorite at home. 25 points. They lost. I need some hooping and hollering. I need some laughing. I need some yelling. Woo! I did it. I need something. You want to hear how to author a great upset call? Let's listen in. Earlier this week, the Winthrop Eagles went all the way cross country to the Bay Area in California and took on a perennial NCAA tournament team, the St. Mary's Gales. And here is the voice of the Winthrop Eagles, Dave Friedman, on the final call.
Free throw up, no good. St. Mary's the rebound. Gales down 2, 5 seconds to go. Jordan Ford drives to the bucket. Floater up, no good. And it's over. Winthrop shocks number 18, St. Mary's.
Now that's a great final call. Great final call. Well, that man on that final call is also on this show named Super Dave. And every week he gives us his college football picks.
It's a spread. It's a line. It's Super Dave.
All I know is if you're betting our games, you're sitting on enough money to retire. BYU, they're okay. Brent Gabbert, that's Blaine's brother.
With your weekly college football picks.
Our picks are on fire. I'm more concerned taking over for a guy named Huge. This is just an unbelievable coaching mismatch.
Thank you, Super Dave.
Dave Friedman joins us here on the show. He went 1-2 last week to fall to 15-18 on the season, but that's only two wins under Mraz, so there's still hope to be had by Super Dave. Dave Friedman, good morning.
Good morning, DA. I hope the call was better than my picks. I think I've got 2 wins in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true. Your call was great. What is the key to a great final upset call? Because you had a great one, and we thought that Evansville really fell quite flat.
Well, I mean, I think it's several things. I mean, first, you have to understand the magnitude of the event. Winthrop has been playing basketball since 1978. They've won 2 games against ranked opponents leading up to Monday night, and they've won 696 games in the history of the university, and this one is one of the 2 or 3 or 5 biggest of all time. So you have to grasp where you are and how important it is. And then the other thing is the same thing that you need in all play-by-play. You need to set the scene. So I think it's really important to, you know, mention the score of the game or the scenario in the game so that the audience is understanding where we are. In that situation, Winthrop was up by 2 with 5 seconds to go. Well, you know, you can't forget that that's where the game is. A 3-pointer can beat you. The previous night, Sunday, Winthrop lost at the buzzer at Fresno State, so they had just been in that same situation.
What's interesting also is that you're broadcasting for the team's fans. As part of the broadcast, you are broadcasting directly to Winthrop fans. Evansville's voices were for Evansville fans. You also want to capture the excitement, right? You want to convey the excitement that you know your audience is feeling.
No question. We get back to Rock Hill after a red-eye flight, and people are still giddy. And I go and teach class at Winthrop, and the students in class are fired up, and everyone's wearing their jerseys with a little more pride. This is a big deal for the university. It's a big deal for the community. And, you know, I'm lucky enough to be there 3,000 miles away. If I don't get a little bit excited about it, I'm not doing my job.
Dave Friedman is the voice of the Winthrop Eagles. Winthrop had a big upset over St. Mary's this past weekend. He's also our college football picker, and so let's get into the picks right now. Let's start with the Navy and Notre Dame game. This one is in South Bend. The Irish are favored by a touchdown, and your pick is the Irish, as we've, quote, seen this play before.
If I don't start hitting football games, I'm going to pick basketball next week. Notre Dame, I had them last week in their win over Duke. I think this is basically the same situation. That game was on the road. This game is at home. Navy's not in the ACC, but if they were, they would be a middle-of-the-pack team like Miami or Virginia, maybe even like Duke. Well, Notre Dame has beaten all those teams. They're 4-0 against the ACC. Navy is not bad, and the AAC is having a good year, and they're one of the top three or four teams in that league. I just think this is a class play. I think Notre Dame is better than Navy. I think the ACC is better than the AAC. Notre Dame usually beats Navy 76-13-1 all time. Seven of the last eight, four straight at home. There's four home wins by an average of 17.5 points a game. Notre Dame is good on defense. They force turnovers. I like Navy. I respect Navy. I think Notre Dame, though, is going to play on a January 1st game, and I think they're better.
Ohio State and Rutgers is the next play. This is an unbelievable line. It is hard to even imagine a Big Ten game having a line like this. It's Ohio State by 53 points. The Buckeyes are favored by 53 points, and in a dangerous move, Super Dave is going with Rutgers. Quote, let's think this thing through.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to break this down point by point. Ohio State's really good, and Rutgers is really bad. But why should Ohio State win on the road by more than 7 touchdowns? They have 50-point wins this year against Miami, Ohio, and last week when they supposedly had some sort of score to settle with Maryland, both of those games were at home. Next week, Ohio State plays Penn State. There's no reason the starters should be playing in the second half. This is a scrimmage. A bunch of Ohio State guys are questionable. I don't see any good reason that they're going to play. I was going to tell you that I would take any team plus 50, and then I thought about that and realized there are actually a bunch of teams worse than Rutgers, and there are probably a couple teams better than Ohio State. I mean, Rutgers, they have 7 losses this year, but the average loss is only 33.5 points a game. I just don't see a motivation for Ohio State to win by a ridiculous total. I mean, I see a, 57-10 or 14 coming up. I'll take those 53, Damon.
Ohio State also without Chase Young for the final week. He'll come back for Penn State. Ohio State favored by 53 points. That's when you know your program's a dumpster fire in Rutgers. And finally, in the ACC, Louisville is at NC State. The spread is Louisville favored by 3.5 on the road. Your pick is the Cardinals, quote, ACC Network primetime.
I mean, this is why we need an ACC Network for Louisville and NC State, right? I think this one's a little bit like Duke and Notre Dame from last year. We've got an average, solid team in the ACC. Louisville 3-3 in conference, wins over Boston College and Wake Forest in Virginia. And we've got NC State, who struggled. Their only league win is over Syracuse. Louisville is a good passing team. Their defense, particularly against the passes, struggled a little bit, but NC State's not going to be able to take advantage of that. They're mediocre passing the ball and not very good defending the pass. It just seems to me that Louisville is the better team. Scott Satterfield's done a really good job turning around that program, and I don't know how much interest there's going to be in Raleigh. It's really cool in North Carolina. Temperatures are expected in the 30s. Their tickets available for less than $10. I think NC State's come close to calling it a year. I think Louisville, though, feels like they're going to a bowl game, the program's pointing up, and they've proven against kind of similar competition that they're better.
The old $10 game at NC State. That's the pick is Louisville. Super Dave gives us his college football picks each and every week. And today, how to author a great final call in college basketball. You can listen to him as part of the Bearded Carcast as well. His travels around the country for some Winthrop basketball took him to the Bay Area this past week. So check it out. All places that podcasts are available, the Bearded Carcast. Super Dave, thanks so much.
Thanks, Damon. We're off to Johnson City, Tennessee in a little bit here. It's Winthrop at ETSU today. ETSU is really, really good.
Listen to it as the Winthrop Eagles continue to storm the country.
It's a bird! It's a plane! It's...
Super Dave.
Makes you realize Evansville really blew it. I mean, the radio team really blew it. That was an epic moment, iconic, historic moment, and they gave us no juice, as Pete the Body Bellotti would say. Give me some juice. I need some juice. When we come back, Amy Trask on the return to the Silver and Black. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.